So the sermon series, I doubt it. Our scripture that we've come in using as our key verse is in John chapter 14, verse 6. Now, I have a good amount of scripture this morning, so if you just want to follow along, I'll have the scriptures behind. If you just want to write them down, I would recommend, because you want to check up on me later. You want to chew on them during the week. But John chapter 14, verse 6 says, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, how many people here have dreams? How many? I hope every hand goes up. I really do. I mean, I hope you have dreams. You know, things that you've wanted for a long time. You know, because we all have plans and dreams. Whether we're willing to admit it or not, we do. I mean, it could be something that you've wanted since you were small. Maybe it was a job, a certain job you wanted. Maybe you were always looking for a best friend. Maybe in your mind, I always wanted to get married. Or I always wanted a child. I always wanted kids. Maybe it was a championship. I always wanted to be on that championship team. Maybe it was just a car. You know, I've always wanted this car or something. Maybe you've been wanting it for so long, but you still, at least as of right now, you haven't got it. And you've been praying for it for a long time. How many of you have been praying for something for a long time? And you may or may not have given up on it yet. Let's be honest. But it will periodically come back to your mind, won't it? And you would love to get it. I mean, I remember when I was in high school, believe it or not, I actually was on the high school basketball team. I know it doesn't really look like it, but I was. And I remember that I always wanted to be able to dunk a basketball. I did. I always wanted to. It seemed like I was the only one on the team that couldn't do it. You can see why. And I mean, I guess I've pretty much given up on that dream. I have. I mean, unless I have a really late growth spurt and I really get in really good shape really quick. Now, some of you got your dream, right? You prayed about it, you worked for it, you know, or it was given to you. And you, I mean, there may be different stories, but somehow you got your dream, or at least one of your dreams. And the dream is alive and well, and you're living in it. And there's nothing wrong with that. The Bible says there's nothing wrong with wanting something or having a dream about something that the Bible says is okay. There's nothing wrong with that. As a matter of fact, it's good. You're happy and you're kind of living in it. I mean, look, I had dreams. I had a dream of one day marrying a beautiful wife and having good kids. And look, God knocked it out of the park. I'm a happy man. I really am. God's been good to me. And I really wouldn't even imagine life without them. I don't even want to do that. I mean, dreams are beautiful things. And there's nothing wrong with having dreams in your life. I don't want you to ever think that. They're things that we're passionate about. They're things that drive us forward. They're the things that cause us to work hard and stretch ourselves. Look, God has dreams for us, right? God has dreams and plans for us. God has things for us to do, people for us to meet. There are things that he wants to give us. Look, God has a plan that he wants you to follow. He does. Matter of fact, look at this verse with me in the book of Proverbs. You don't have to turn there if you want. You can if you want. It's in Proverbs 16, verse 3. Proverbs 16, verse 3. It says, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. I like the word commit here, because it's not what you think it means. It literally means to transfer a burden from one person to someone else. Isn't that cool? That's literally what it means. So, we have lots of dreams and plans, right? So when we give them to someone who's stronger than us, you know, it says that they become established. Now, the word established here means certain, stable, standing up straight. Now, what do you do when you believe you're following God's dream or plan for your life, and something bad happens? You know, you lose your job. You strike out with the bases loaded in that championship game, the one that you've been dreaming about. Your brand new car crashes and you don't have the money to fix it. You get that bad report from the doctor. You know, we've all gotten, haven't you gotten those phone calls or texts from friends or family, you know, when those things have happened? And usually we say the same things, right? It's like, A, we're really sorry, and we're praying for him, and we mean it, don't we? I mean, we really are sorry that this, that, look, that a dream that they had has come crashing down. We're sorry, and we really, truly want and pray that God would step in and do something miraculous, don't we? Look, the Bible is full of stories where someone's dream died. Plans were destroyed. The Bible has them. I mean, we're used to movies, aren't we? You know, when it seems that something bad always happens in movies. Isn't that the kind of the way it is? Like a movie starts and it seems like tragedy starts happening and just bad stuff. Have you noticed that? But we know sooner or later, though, what's going to happen. You know, something's going to work out, right? You know, someone comes and saves the day, a miracle out of nowhere, you know? As a matter of fact, my wife hates sad movies. She does. Matter of fact, if we're going to watch a movie and I've seen it before or I've learned about it, you know what she asks me? Is that a happy ending? She does. She asks me. She goes, matter of fact, if there's not a happy ending, she don't want to watch it. Matter of fact, she doesn't even want to watch the movies that have like, it's like 99% tragedy. And then like in the last 3 minutes, you know, it all turns out. I mean, we're kind of the same though, right? Do we really like watching people go through tragedy? Do we? I don't. Now, today we're going to look at the best way to describe it. It's a confusing Bible story. It's just kind of confusing. Now, look, I'll tell you right up front. It has a happy ending. It does. It does. So for those of you who are kind of worried, oh no, what's pastor going to be? No, it has a happy ending. Matter of fact, so for those of you who hate sad endings, you're fine. He gets healed in the end. I totally spoiled it. He does. He gets healed in the end. He does. But see, that's not the confusing part of the story. And you'll kind of, look, you're going to see Jesus react in a way that's going to confuse you. You're going to look at it and say, wait a minute, why is he doing that? Matter of fact, it may even cause some questions that come up inside you of like, is this how God may behave toward me? Is this what God may actually do in my life? So, like I said, it might kind of confuse you, but my hope is that we go through the whole story. It actually will give you some direction on how to deal with certain types of situations that'll happen in your life, okay? So, we're going to start in the book of John, chapter 11. You can turn there, because literally that's where we're going to spend the rest of today, is in John chapter 11. Now, as you're turning there, let me give you some background. Jesus right now is in an area of Israel called Perea. Now, he's been spending time teaching the people there, basically, and he's been using a bunch of parables. Matter of fact, if you want to know what the parables were, if you write down Luke chapters 11, no, I think it's chapters 13 through 18, you write that down, Luke 13 through 18, these are the parables that Jesus is actually using while he's there with those people. I love the Gospels. That's kind of cool. It's like this interwoven story of things that happen. That's why it's great to read it all the way through from John, Matthew through John. But right here, and we know that if you actually were to look in John chapter 10, you'll find out that these teachings were great. Matter of fact, they caused a lot of them to believe based on the teachings that Jesus gave. But let's pick up where the story starts. This is John chapter 11 in verse 1. So it says, now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now, I'm telling you, if you are a messenger sent from Mary and Martha, this is exactly what you wanted to have happen. I'm telling you, this was like the perfect, it's like the perfect story. Because look, you're given the job of go find Jesus and the disciples. And remember, the last known location of Jesus at this time was in Perea. So that's where they did. They sent him that direction. Because remember, they don't have a cell phone. There's no cars. There's no modern technology. So it's what you have to do is basically say, all right, this is the last place we knew where they were, so go there and try and find them and give them the message. Now, but see, the problem is that they believe that Bethany to where Jesus was about 8 to 12 hour journey on foot. That's how long it was going to take for them to get there. So, but this was perfect though, because think about it. The messenger not only got there, he found Jesus and the disciples, and Jesus actually responds the exact way that they would want him to respond. I mean, if Mary and Martha wanted to hear an answer, this was the exact answer they wanted, right? It said, the sickness is not unto death. Whew, okay, good. It's for the glory of God. Perfect. I mean, that's exactly what you want to hear. Now, has that ever happened to you? I mean, have you ever gotten like a word from God? Let's say you were praying. Maybe you were reading the Bible or a devotional, or maybe you got a prophetic word from someone. And, you know, they basically told you exactly what you wanted to hear about something that was going on in your life. You got the word from God that was, in your mind, perfect. That's exactly what I needed to hear. Has that ever happened to someone? You've got it. You got exactly what you wanted to know. I mean, how great is it when you're praying about something and God at least gives you an answer? I mean, how good do you feel? You're like walking on cloud nine, aren't you? I mean, think about it. It's like, wow, I prayed. This is the answer. And look, can anything kind of knock you down then? Can anything discourage you? Matter of fact, aren't you kind of like a prayer warrior? Oh, you need to hear a word from God? Well, I'll pray. I'll pray for you. I'm all over that, right? Because look, God was faithful. He gave you what you needed, and so you want to then give that to someone else. Now, what I find interesting, though, is when you hear what Jesus says to that person, if you know the whole story, you're going to be a little confused. Now, for some of you who've never heard this story before, this is where you want to buckle up, because the ride gets a little bumpy as we kind of move forward. Let's continue in verse 5. So now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. He stayed for 2 more days. Have you ever had a time in your life when you had a dream and a plan? And it started to go up in flames, literally right in front of you. But then you received a word from God. You know, you received a word from God that said, look, don't worry. It's going to be okay. And then nothing happened? That would be like, for example, let's say that you have a beautiful home. God gave you a beautiful home. And then all of a sudden, it catches on fire. And so you do what you should, right? You quickly get on the phone and you call the fire department. My house, it's on fire. Quick, I need help. And they're like, don't worry. The fireman literally says on the phone, don't worry, your house won't burn down. You'll be okay. You're like, whew, all right, good. And then you're about to hang up. He says, we'll be there in a few hours. But he already hung up. A few hours? It's on fire now. Jesus, you're staying for 2 more days? Look, you remember Peter, the one who was kind of loud? See, this is just me. I mean, maybe this is just me. I could picture Peter kind of walking up to Jesus, like after he said that, you know, we're going to stay here for 2 more days, kind of elbowing him. Jesus, look, maybe you don't understand this, It's a day's journey to get there. It's going to take us at least a full day. And you want to wait two more days. And remember, Jesus, we're not just talking about any guy. This is Lazarus, brother of Mary and Martha. You remember Mary and Martha. Remember, you know Mary. Mary's, she's the one that, she's always at your feet. She's washing and she's you like her. You know, she's good. And remember, Martha, she's the great cook. She's the one that whenever we come, she opens her home and she, you know, we're not just talking about anyone, Jesus. So, knowing all that, you want to wait 2 days, even before we leave. Verse 7. Then after this, he said to his disciples, "Let's go to Judea again." And the disciples said to him, "Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and you're going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of the world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him." See, the disciples actually were worried that Jesus was going to get himself killed. And it's interesting because Jesus teaches the disciples that when you walk in God's dream, in God's plan for your life, when you walk in the light, you don't have to worry. God will get the glory from it. But he's also kind of saying, when you don't walk in God's plan and dream, when you're walking in the darkness, you don't carry the same level of protection. And what I find ironic, though, is that Jesus talks about someone not being worried about killing him. That Jesus wasn't afraid of death. But then look what he then says. We'll continue in verse 11. "These things he said, and after that he said to them, 'Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up.' Then his disciples said, 'Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well.' However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, 'Lazarus is dead.'" Sometimes Jesus has got to do that, right? Just speak plainly. No more like flower. Lazarus is dead. But he doesn't stop there. "And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nonetheless, let us go to him." Then Thomas, who's called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go that we may die with him." So, yeah, Jesus tells the disciples that Lazarus is dead. And like I said, I can just kind of picture Peter, probably a very helpful guy, walking over, kind of elbowing Jesus. "Jesus, remember what you said before? The sickness is not unto death. You said that. So why do we wait 2 days? And now you're telling us that, you know, Lazarus is dead. It's going to take us a whole nother day just to get there. And plus, Jesus, didn't you just tell us that as long as we're walking in your plan, we're walking in the light, that we don't have to worry about death and things like stopping us from accomplishing your purpose? So why did you just tell us that Lazarus is dead?" Have you ever had a conversation with God that kind of left you confused? I mean, you started following your dream, and, you know, the one that you believed came from God. Life was good. Then something bad starts to happen. And look, you do what you're supposed to do, right? We know. What do you do when something bad happens? You go to who? You go to God, right? So you go to God, you're under your Savior and Lord, and you kind of, you know, you ask for help. And the answer you get is kind of like what Jesus says. "Don't worry, it's not unto death. It's going to be for my glory. It's going to be for my honor." You know? And you leave feeling great. You're like, "Whew, good. All right, God's got this. I'm all right." And you wait for days and God doesn't show up. Maybe you watch your dream die. I mean, doesn't the questions kind of start flooding your brain then? You know? "God, where's the glory in this? Why did you have to wait 2 days? Look, I know you love me, so why didn't you come?"